Okay. So last week, if you remember, Pastor Don gave an excellent message, and while I was sitting over there, there were a couple things that really caught my ear, and I began to write notes and notes so that I could listen to what was going on here, but then write down what I believe the Lord was showing me at that particular time. And so I contemplated, I thought about it all week long, and, you know, took the notes that I had written down, took them with me to work, and looked at them when I got home, looked at them before I went to bed, and hopefully this will all come together. Anyway, if you could show a on the screen if it comes up.
Yeah,
so on. Yeah. Y'all know what that is, right?
Half-eaten apple.
Yeah, that was in the garden, wasn't it? No, Steve Jobs and what's his name come up with that, right? What's it represent, you know?
iPhone.
Yeah.
iPad.
Macintosh. Yeah.
So Macintosh, Apple.
Apple Incorporated. That's what it represents. You can go to the next one. What's that?
Nike.
Yeah. What's that represent?
Just do it.
The shoes I got on. Yeah.
Big money.
Big money. Yeah, go to the next one. What's that one? Yeah, that represents my belly. That's McDonald's. And
all right, which one's this next one?
Yeah, what's that? Coca-Cola. Oh, that's pretty good. Next one?
And this one everybody would recognize.
Pepsi. That's the choice of the new generation right there, I guess. And okay, so these are all what? These are all logos.
Yep.
Right? So let's go to the next one. And there's a whole bunch of them.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And these logos are everywhere we look. We drive down the street, they're there. We get on the internet, they're there. We open up a magazine or a newspaper, one of those ancient pieces of technology, and we see logos everywhere. Everywhere we turn. And a lot of times we don't even have to see the name. It's like Facebook, you can see if you've got the icon on your cell phone, there's just a little F.
Yeah.
If you see that little old Polaroid looking, that's Instagram. We know. We can see these things and we know what they are. And we go to the next one here. I mean, a lot of times I'll look, you know, I'll be driving down the road and you can see that, you know, you'll just see the H on the back of the car.
Right.
You'll just see the little bird for Mazda or what's supposed to be the goose for Toyota, if that's up there, their old goose sign. The H for the Honda, the Audi, the four rings.
Mm-hmm.
We see these logos everywhere. And so,
I'm surprised Hyundai and Honda don't have a legal battle going on.
Well, they're
Honda
different enough.
Honda has an upright H.
They're different enough. But they work out.
Hyundai's weird.
You can tell an Acura is a related to Honda. Yeah.
And then there's Fiat, which stands for what, Tammy?
Fix it again, Tony.
So, that's Fiat for you. But anyway, they've come a long way, I think. Here's the ones without a lot of words. But we can look at them and we still know what they are. That harp right there, that's Guinness. That's Guinness Stout. And harp lager, that's what that is. How do I know that? I don't know. You know, Louis Vuitton. You know, Adobe up there. Adidas over here. I mean, we see them and we recognize them. So you can shut those off.
I'm greatly disappointed.
So,
Dr. Pepper.
That's right.
The title of today's message, the discussion, talk, is Imago Dei, the image of God. Logos, the image of God. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, McDonald's, Target, NBC, Google, businesses, manufacturers, products, sports teams, political parties, candidates, states, countries, religions, all have their respective logos. When a familiar logo catches our eye, everything we know about who or what it represents, or whatever we believe or think, immediately pops into mind. Those ideas and opinions may just be in our subconscious mind when we see it. Or they're still there nonetheless, or they come right out to the forefront, especially if we're hungry or we need to go shopping, or, you know, we're looking for something. How many times are you in an unfamiliar location. You're there for a conference, or you're there, you know, like when Tammy and I have gone up to Charlottesville, and we don't know what is around to eat, you know, where to go, what we need. We just start driving, and we look for something familiar. And, oh, we know what that is. We'll go over here, grab something to eat, or we need something that we forgot at home. Mm-hmm. And we know, oh, there's the store we can go to get what we need. It's not a quick jump to bring those ideas and opinions to the fore either. Corporations of every type may be worth billions of dollars, and they'll spend a large fraction of that money that they make every year to keep their logo
right
in the front of your mind. Mm-hmm. Why does Coca-Cola and Pepsi, why do they still spend? Why does Budweiser still spend billions of dollars every year advertising? Because they make billions of dollars, and there's still a lot of competition. To have us decide what it is we're going to drink, what we're going to buy, where we're going to go, what we're going to wear, all these different things. But they spend a lot of money. It used to be the big deal about Super Bowl ads. How much does this ad cost? How much does 15 right seconds cost? A minute? A 30 seconds? Just these astronomical amounts that companies would be charged to have their product put out there. And they would spend not just to have it aired, but the money that was spent creating, mm-hmm, you know, having a focus group, having the right advertising agency come in. Madison Avenue, we all know right about Madison Avenue, spending billions of dollars for these ad campaigns. All of this to say there is one logo worth more than all others combined, and who and what that logo represents holds exponentially more value than anything else in all of creation. John chapter 1,
yeah,
verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This should be elementary. What is the Word? What's the Greek word for word?
Logos.
Logos. That is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. This is Jesus Christ. He is the Logo. He is the one who represents everything about the kingdom. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That we proclaim, or what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. So, what we have heard, the Apostle John is saying, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands. It's like a product in a way. We see, and then we go, and we look, and we touch, and we use, and we get to, it's like, okay, yeah, I like this. So, not that Jesus is a product, but we hear him. We can see him. Maybe not face-to-face physically, but we see the evidence of him. We see him. Like Angie in the MRI.
MRI.
Being there, just picturing the Lord. And then us there, being with her and supporting her. Nudging her forward to be brave. Go to sleep and all that sort of thing. What we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested. That means it was here. It was here before.
Right, right.
He said again, manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim. That's word of mouth. When we tried, a friend of mine sent me a text and said, have you ever been to this particular restaurant, this burger place? Said, no, but I've heard about it. I've wanted to go and give it a try. And then a few minutes later, you know, after he got his order, you know, sent me a picture of his food, the burger that he got. And he said, this is the biggest burger I've ever had. And it looked like it was about the size of his head. You know, I mean, it was just that big. I'm like, yeah, we definitely got to go over there and try it. Because I would definitely like to have a burger the size of my head. But what we see, we proclaim. We talk about stuff that we like. You know, we hear a new song, we go see a movie, and we give it the thumbs up or the thumbs down and we tell our friends, a TV show maybe, or hey, did you see that commercial over there? Did you, a website, whatever it is, we share those things. Now, we're talking about the logo, the logos, the word of God. Colossians chapter 1. This little letter should be a favorite for us because it is the letter that Paul wrote that if we look at it, it is the one that lays out that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. If you get a grip on Colossians and the way that Paul lays it out in order, there are good refutations there for the cults who say that Jesus Christ is not God or there's another Jesus. There's things that are laid out to refute atheists in that. It is an excellent letter. And Paul just lays it out point by point. You can go in and do an outline of it. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He is the image of the living God. He is the Logos. You look at him. You see him. You know. In Genesis chapter 1, there's a lot of chapter 1s here, isn't there? Because he is the beginning, he is the end, he is the most important one in the entire story. They're all in they're not all, but a lot of them are in chapter 1 until he starts talking, until Jesus starts talking, and we get into the red letters. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Hold on to that. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And think about who you are. And think about where you've come from. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We're made in the image of God. Why does it say let us make man in our image? We've been taught because it represents the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. That's why you and I have body, soul, and spirit. When we're breathed in, we get that ruah, we get the breath of God, we receive the Holy Spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit. We're more than just this body, though. This is just the outward. This is just the image. This is the likeness. Something's deeper. There's a spiritual image. That's why I think the word in John chapter 1, talking about the word of God and the word of the flesh, is, at least in my mind, it's plural. Logos. Because the word is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yeah. All of it. But Jesus is the logo. The logos. The one that we see. The one who is represented. The one who is manifest. Jesus brings this up to his disciples and to the people who were there listening. John chapter 14. A lot of these are red letters. John chapter 14, verses 7 through 15. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father, abiding in me, does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, we believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Philip says, show us the Father. Show us God. He says, I've been here the whole time. Haven't you seen me? Haven't you seen what I'm doing? It's the Father in me. I'm not doing this of my own initiative. I'm receiving the words from my Father. I did an object lesson many years ago when I used to teach Sunday school. And I brought in a whole collection of gloves, all different kinds. The old Playtex living gloves, rubber gloves, surgical gloves, winter gloves, just every leather glove, everything that you could imagine, different gloves. And I would put them on. I had the kids come up and put them on. And we were just, you know, doing various things. It looks like the glove is doing the work. But it's not the glove, it's the hand inside. It looks like we're doing the works. It looks like we're doing it. But it's the fun, not that we're, but we're just like a glove. We're just a, my friend used to call it educated dirt. That's who we are. But because of the Father, there's so much more. He wants to do these works in us and through us. Greater than what Jesus did. Really? Greater than what Jesus did? That's hard to imagine. I guess that's why I don't do things that are greater than what Jesus did, because it's hard to see it. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to wrap my head around that and go, no.
Yep.
I've seen people. If you've seen a guy named Robbie Dawkins, you know, if you've seen our friend Jit Patel, who has been here a few times, we've gotten to know him pretty well. We see him doing some greater things than Jesus did here. And they both know who it comes from. They both know that it's not them doing these signs and wonders and these miracles. And if you've been around and you've seen the works. You've seen what the Father does. So, Jesus Christ is the Logo. He's the Logos. He represents God the Father. We are the image of God. Remember what it said there in Genesis chapter 1? We were made in the image and likeness of God. He chose to make you and me in the image of himself. Mm. So when we see one another, we should see Jesus. We should see God working. Knowing that, it's just Angie. But we know who's working through her. When she goes to do the ladies' prison ministry, we know who's working through her. Because that's nothing you would do on your own. The Angie I've known and loved would never step out in that kind of faith and go to a woman's prison and try to... We take a step of faith. And then, this isn't so bad. And then you've seen miracles. You've heard stories, and you've been there, and God has used you. The Imago Dei, I don't speak Latin, so I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but that sounds good to me. So, the image of God is a concept and theological doctrine in Judaism, Christianity, and Sufism of Islam, which asserts that human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. Philosophers and theologians have debated the exact meaning of the phrase for millennia. I don't think we really need to debate what it means. We're made in the image of God. The word of God, or principle of divine reason, creative order, identified in the Gospel of John, the second person of the Trinity, incarnate. We know what a logo is. We saw the representation of all these different companies, products. That word logo, logos, is related to the word logic. Mm-hmm. It's related to the word logic in that words need to be ordered. Logic is it's a computer programming language or system, I guess, of being able to learn code, learn programming. And a computer is logic electronically. And the computer, we can say, that's a stupid computer. It's like, no, it's what we put into it. You know, we can say, hey, this is what I want. They've become a lot more intuitive than they were when I was taking computer science back in high school. They've come a lot they've come a long way. You know, I remember going to the Clark County School District at the headquarters or whatever it was, whatever you call that, the big administration building over the entire school district there. And we got to go see their computers. And at that time, they had those big giant drums. They were huge machines, and they were big giant drum, magnetic tape that went into this, looked like a washing machine, basically. Then they had the other ones that looked like giant refrigerators that had the reel-to-reel tapes on them. And then over here, for registration for the different classes, when I first started in high school, some of you may have been there, some of you may have had something completely different. You know, you had to etch it. Sorry. I'm getting fresh. I apologize. There were punch cards.
Punch cards.
And they had this punch card there that, you know, going across. And we've come so much further. But computers act on logic. If, then.
Right.
All these different, it's mathematical equations. It has to be just so. Otherwise, the computer freaks out. That's why I think it's taken so long for artificial intelligence to come to a place. I don't think it, I believe it never will come to that. I just don't think it will happen. Definitely not in my lifetime. I don't think so. But logic is reason. In Isaiah chapter 1, another chapter 1, remember Genesis chapter 1? Let us make man in our image. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says, come now and let us reason together. It's not that that God is reasoning with himself. He's talking to man. He's talking to us. Let us reason together. Let's use logic here. Let's think about it. Now, logic, I think reason fails us. And I've said that faith is the place where logic and reason fail us. Mm. When we just don't understand, why is this happening? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know the next step to take. We put ourselves into a place where, you know what, I'm not going to think about it because I can't. It's illogical, you know, Spock. It's illogical. I can't figure this thing out. But it's reason, and then logic, and then faith. And the reason why I put logic in the middle is because that's the logos. That's the word of God. We set aside our reason. We come and we reason together with God to understand, hey, I want you to come to the logos. I want you to come. Because we know the beginning part of Isaiah is all about the Messiah. It's all about that little baby born in Bethlehem and that little baby rising up and becoming a man and then teaching in the temple, and then going to the cross. By his stripes we are healed. Right there in the beginning of Isaiah, that's all it's about. Well, all the way through, because Isaiah 53 is where it goes, by my stripes you are healed. Isaiah is all about the Messiah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to end up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Where reason fails and where faith is, we come to this place of the cross where the logos, that's logical. We have the mind of Christ. We can believe the impossible. With man, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Whatever we ask, whatever we imagine, whatever we think, God can do infinitely more than we can ask or think. He can do that. We leave reason, and we move toward faith, and we come to Jesus Christ, and we hear the word of God, and he speaks to you. He spoke to us this morning through Sue, talking about that finger, that hand on her back, pushing forward. And praying over Amelia. Praying over Gregory. Speaking the words. while we were singing, and I just had this impression of the Lord saying, "I love you, church. Oh, how I love you." And that's, he does that. He does that for us. He loves us. He speaks his words, his logos. He speaks them over us. We've seen him. We've heard him. We've tasted. We've touched. All of the senses. Everything that we know about Jesus. Now we proclaim him. He's more valuable than any of the products or corporations or anything up there that we saw. Like Babylon, they trade in the hearts and lives of men. Remember that? If that's from the Bible, in Revelation, I think. That Babylonian kingdom rises up again in the end times. They trade in the hearts, the souls, and the lives of men. That's all we are today. We're the product. They're trying to get into our pocket. Here, have this new thing. Here, eat this. Here, try this over here. This is better. That's better. Then you and I buy it, just like it says in Ecclesiastes. And we go, "Oh, it's no good. It's no good," says the buyer. Then we go off to boast about our purchase. You know, it's like, "Well, it's not the one I wanted, but hey, check this out." You know, the new phone. "Well, I wanted the Plus, but I couldn't afford the Plus, so I got this one. It's not good enough." But then we see, you know, "Hey, man, look what I got." That's what we do. So we come to Jesus. We see him. He is the full representation of the Father. And then you and I are the imago Dei. We are the image of God. He made us in his likeness. We grow into that. We are the image of God. We will be the image of God. We are becoming the image of God. Mm-hmm. All at the same time. And when we see one another, no matter how much that image, if it's fading, you guys remember the movie Back to the Future? Okay. And that he had that picture of himself, and it was beginning to fade as he was trying to get his mom and dad there at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance at the high school. 1955, he's there. You know, Marty McFly. And he's like trying to get his mom and dad into this thing. "Well, you guys have to go out tonight because this is when you guys become, you know, you get hitched or coupled. You're, you know, you become high school sweethearts and then you go on to be married and then Marty McFly is made." Okay. But as they start to grow apart, his future mother and father start to grow apart, that picture begins to fade. He's no longer there. You and I are in reverse. There's this image of us, and we're not there yet. But the more we spend time with him, the more that image comes to the fore, and the clearer it gets. Paul said, right now we see in a mirror dimly, darkly. We can't really tell. What is that? Who is that? But the more we spend time with Jesus, and the more we understand that we are made in his image and his likeness, the more our eyes can see clearly. It took the Apostle John a long time to come to that realization. Before he wrote the Gospel of John, and before he penned those letters, those three letters to the different churches, it took him a long time. Remember, he was the one that wanted to call fire down from heaven.
Right.
He was the one, he was called the Son of Thunder. He was an angry young man. Didn't take much for him to fly off the handle. "Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. You want us to call fire down from heaven? Let's go kick their butts. Come on, let's go." And Jesus is like, no, come on. Settle down. And according, I think it was Fox's Book of Martyrs and a couple others, that Apostle John became the one who became the Apostle of Love. Everything about the Gospel of John, the main word is centered around love. God is love. Love. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. It's all about love. Love. It says that he was carried around. He was. I just picture him as becoming, you know, kind of like a flower child, you know, wearing his sandals and his robe and just walking. "God, Jesus loves you. Here, have a flower. Jesus loves you. He's love. No longer calling down fire from heaven, but being there. It took a long time for that change to take place.
Yeah.
And so, for us, look at the Apostle Paul. He was out killing Christians. He was out killing who he thought was the heretic. Yeah. Who was leaving Judaism and taking Jesus as the Messiah. No way he's the image of God. No way he is God in the flesh. And he was killing people who believed it and preached it. But God changed him. And it took him some time to grow and to come along. And, you know, we think it was like this. Compared to us, it was like this. But because he had already had a lot of knowledge. But God changed him. Lord, we thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you so much. That you came to the earth you created. And that you are indeed the representation of everything the Father is about. The grace, the compassion, the mercy, the empathy, the anger, the correction, the rebuke. Everything that a father is supposed to be, you represented to those young men, those teenage boys who you gather around yourself and taught them and led them. Guys without any direction at all. And you said, come follow me and I'll show you the way. And those guys, you let them go and they changed the world. You were willing to impart to them everything. You awoke within them that they were the image of God. They had you,
yes,
in their hearts, in their lives. As we've been talking about these things over the last several weeks, continue to impress in our minds. Like malleable clay or melted wax when the person takes the signet ring and just presses that image in. Just press that into our hearts and our minds. It will be imprinted. Embossed. Just put that within. That you have made us in your image, in your likeness. And again, can we see that in each other?
Yes, Lord.
And can we see that spark, just that pale, pale image in others who don't know you yet? They are still created in your image. Can we have your love, your compassion, your mercy? Can we have a control over our own emotions that we wouldn't become angry or bitter or rude or violent or murderous? That we wouldn't walk in the acts of the sinful nature, but that we would grow more toward the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, there's someone here today, and this isn't coming from some ethereal word of knowledge or anything. This is from human knowledge. But someone here today who I love very, very much. And I think a lot of us do. And I believe, because of the relationship that we've had, I believe that there are times when he is feeling inadequate, feeling abandoned, feeling alone, feeling is that a failure. But what I see and what I believe we all see is that Don Freeman is not any of those things. He is a man who is tenacious. He is a man who is willing to lay down his own life to go to different places that some of us wouldn't go. Even at the expense and sacrifice of his bedtime. And so we do want to pray for him. Don, we want to pray for you before you head out again to Peoria. And just want to say thanks. And thanks for allowing this guy to talk when you're not here or second Sundays. And this risk that you take and continue to pour out your life.
Taking the risk of losing the floor.
So let's go around on and pray for him.